The following program is paid for by Shoreline Wealth Management. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Townsquare Media, its affiliates, or advertisers.
Welcome to Short Time. It is Short Time with Vin and Dave Vinebnu, Dave Crossen with you. And a happy Easter Sunday to all of you and your family and friends today. Hopefully plenty of Cadbury eggs for one and all. Maybe some jelly beans too. And hopefully it's a nice and blessed holiday for everybody out there, whether you know, going to church today or went last night. Enjoyed a beautiful service myself over at St. Justin the Martyr in Toms River. It's a fantastic day. It's a beautiful day of the year. And lots to celebrate today. Dave, do you have a favorite Easter candy or treat?
Ooh, that's a good one. I guess, what is it, the Cadbury egg, right? That's a. I think that's
well,
one.
Let me ask a follow-up then.
Please.
Do you like the regular cream-filled Cadbury egg, or they have like a chocolate cream orange cream?
No, not the orange. Chocolate cream.
No, not a fan of the orange?
No, not really. You know what I'm going to tell you? You're going to make fun of me just to throw this out at you. Anytime I tell this to anybody, they're like, what are you talking about? I like chocolate.
Right.
Right? I like peanut butter. Right?
Oh.
I don't like it together.
Yep.
Not that that was one of the choices there. I'm just saying when
actually,
it comes
I thought I read recently that apparently the favorite Easter candy for New Jersey residents is like Reese's.
Yes,
those Reese's
I know it
peanut
is.
Butter cups.
Yeah. And anytime I mention it, people are like, excuse me, I don't
You're
get
not
it.
From around
well,
here,
no,
are you?
Listen, I love peanut butter. I love chocolate, but let them be. They don't need to come together on this
Dave,
deal. Let them be.
It's again, a match made in heaven.
How about this? If you were to say, here you go, David, you have to eat that right now, I would, and I'd be okay with it. But it's not like I'm like, oh my, this is it. I love it. Give me more. I just, for whatever reason, the combination just doesn't do it. Mm. And I know people listening right now are like, you know what, David, I don't know what to say about you.
Well, have you ever had like a protein shake or a milkshake or whatever where you put peanut butter and chocolate chips in there or
something?
I guess
I have.
Like a peanut butter chocolate combo?
Or toast up a pair of waffles
and then spread peanut butter on the waffles and put chocolate chips on them.
I mean, I see where you're going with this.
I mean,
just,
it's the same concept.
Yeah. Well, look,
I mean, a little different
let's,
way it gets put together.
This? I got an idea. You ready? This is crazy, but here it comes.
All right.
Let's get some bread. Let's put a little peanut butter on it, and let's grab jelly, grape jelly, put that going on, or onto the sandwich, if you will. And then we have our chocolate, and we're going to maybe put some caramel on it or something like that. There you go. I'm good with that.
I mean, I may call party foul on that. You're saying peanut butter, jelly, chocolate, and caramel on a sandwich?
No, not together. No, separate scenarios. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I was like, where are you going with this?
No, separate scenarios where give me peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
On a sandwich. There you go. Nice combination. But when it comes to chocolate, don't need to bring the peanut butter. Let's put caramel or sea salt or something on there. That's good. I'm fine.
So are you a fan of chocolate on its own, or are you a fan of double chocolate?
Like where well, I like chocolate.
Chocolate
so
inside
okay
of chocolate.
Double chocolate.
Like these, the Cadbury eggs,
yeah,
for
I'm
example.
Fine with that. Yeah, I'm
so
good with that.
Doubling down on the
Just
chocolate.
Just do not bring the peanut butter in with the chocolate.
What about double chocolate with a little peanut butter on top?
No.
All right.
No, it's...
We'll try.
I will say
we'll
this.
We'll keep trying.
It's not that I won't eat it. It's not like you gave me a box of chocolates and I grab one and it's chocolate and peanut butter. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. No, I'll eat it. It's okay. But it's not one of these things where I'm like, oh, that was the best thing ever. Just won't do it. Just
well,
don't like
if
it.
If somebody gave you a box of chocolates and didn't tell you what was in them. Just say, hey, this is a delicious box of chocolates.
I'll try it. Of course
All
I
of a sudden, you bite into one that has peanut butter in it. What would your reaction?
It will be, I'll be okay with it. But I'm not going to be like, I hope there's another one just like it. Okay? So if I figure out in the box, okay, that looks like what I just ate and has peanut butter, then, you know, I'm going to give it to you, Van. There you go.
Yeah,
that's
but then
you.
If that other one that you think has peanut butter in it actually doesn't, maybe it has like cherry and cherry filling in it, then you're missing out.
But I will always try, check it out, see
right.
what's going
All
on.
Right.
But if peanut butter is part of the game, put me on the bench. That's it.
All right. Let me ask you this about sandwiches before we dive in, because we want to hit on another topic here.
Sure.
Peanut butter and fluffernutter. Are you on board with the Fluffernutter train?
Again, I'm indifferent. It's okay. I'm not going to be like, please make me one.
Can't tell you how many times I made that sandwich growing up. It was just like, good.
No, it's not bad.
Like peanut butter it's marshmallow fluff, which is why my favorite candy is Three Musketeers. It's got chocolate.
I get it. Okay.
It's got marshmallows. It's soft, satisfying.
You know what I'm really into now, and you see it a lot more, is the like the sea salt on the chocolate. It's
really?
Just something about it really brings out the flavor. I like that. The caramel is nice.
I do love me some caramel, especially, you know, some melted caramel and like ice cream, like hot fudge and caramel on ice cream.
I always think of Friendly's ice cream with the big, you know, jug or whatever you want to call it, glass container, if you will.
There you go.
And you would get these combinations of, like you're talking about, your peanut butter, your caramel, your chocolate, your hot fudge, I guess it would be.
There it is.
The different ice creams. I always loved going to Friendly's. That was such a treat because you were going there for something special.
I like going. I feel like a lot of good ice cream shops have like those very interesting creations and combinations where it's like you put things together like, you know, that sounds interesting. I'll try it out. And then you're like, whoa, this is great.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, you're going to make fun of me. So Dairy Queen, I love the vanilla soft serve, right?
All right.
And then just dip it in the chocolate that becomes hard. I'm done. Love. Very simple. Very simple. Love it.
Sometimes
love
it's enough.
Love it. That's enough. We're not here to reinvent the wheel.
You know,
it's a
I'm
good
okay
thing.
With vanilla ice cream with a combination of hot fudge, caramel on the top. Boom. I'm good to go.
Okay. Okay.
That's enough for me. Although, I forget who, I feel like there's probably a couple of companies that makes it. That chocolate marshmallow ice cream, it's really good.
Okay. No, listen, I'm not against
what we're talking about. That, yeah.
It's just I don't seek it out. Like, it's not like, hey, David, it's time for some ice cream, or I should say some chocolate. Let's get that peanut butter. It's like, I'm good. If it's in there, I'll be okay with it.
I just
won't be like, that's the way to go. And that's my entire routine on chocolate and peanut butter.
We should do an ice cream tour. Short time of Vin and Dave hits all the Jersey Shore ice cream shops.
We should broadcast there, right? Why not?
You know, sample the ice cream flavors, you know.
Yes.
This way we give our educated opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only fair way to do it.
There are so many good ice cream places to go down at the Jersey Shore, as we know. I mean, think about all the great ones that we have.
That and Italian ice.
And now that the weather is changing and we're getting into that time where, you know, we'll have the nice warm nights. Go get yourself a little ice cream.
I hit up my boy Anthony at Ralph's Italian Ice in Tom's River when they opened up around the beginning of spring.
Nice.
Like, all right, I'll come check out. Got some ice there.
There is something nice about the summer going, I guess, for a nice ice cream cone or something, and it's warm out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just, there's something about it. It's special.
It's not even just on those super hot days. It's just kind of like, you know what? It's nice out. I feel like sitting outside, enjoying a little ice cream or Italian ice.
Why not? Exactly.
Well, Dave, one of the things we could do this summer, because warm weather's here, and I can't believe how many trees have already blossomed, by the way. My allergies are a testament to that. But looking ahead to the beach.
Yeah.
You know, beach prices and everything.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Some beaches are the Dave motto, you know, if it's free, it's for me.
There you go. Jump on in, but you can't unless you pay your fare.
Others, charge a little bit daily, seasonal, and so on and so forth. But you know what? Like we've been starting to talk about, as we start looking ahead to spring and summer outdoor activities, one of those things is the beach. Of course, it's hard to say, all right, on July 14th, I'm going to go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all of a sudden July rolls around and we're in a period of rain.
That's true. Very true.
So it's hard to plan for like the beach on like a long vacation, right? Where you're like, okay, this week we're going to this place or Disney, whatever.
Here we're at this location. Yeah, I get
it. But fortunately for us, living here in Monmouth and Ocean counties, we're like, you know what? Drop of the hat. I want to go to the beach today.
Just like that.
And boom, there you go.
Jump on your bike, take a walk, whatever.
It looks like it's going to be a nice weekend, start of the work week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saturday, I'm going to go to the beach.
There you go.
Give yourself something to look forward to.
Or take a half day off of work if you can. Sneak to the beach.
Where you're like, I'm going to work from home
remote working this
afternoon.
Yes, exactly.
And by home, I mean the beach.
Exactly. Now, we are very spoiled. We have a lot of options.
So I put together an article last week.
Okay.
Trying to break it down for the people. This way it's all in one central location, Dave.
Get out the information.
The beach badge prices for the Jersey Shore for 2023. So I was doing some research, talking to some people.
All right.
Put together a list of some of the beaches in Monmouth and Ocean counties so that whether you're looking to buy a seasonal beach badge or you're like, you know what? I just want to know what the daily beach badge is so
that's fair.
We check out some beaches. And listen, I encourage you to, everybody's got their favorite beach, but I encourage you to check out as many beaches across Ocean Monmouth as possible. You may discover something that you didn't realize. You're like, you know what? This has got a cool vibe.
There you go. I like that.
Oh, and you know, sometimes for those days where you're like, I cannot find parking. I cannot find a place on the beach.
That's the challenge.
Let me go to my plan B or plan C beach.
Other locations.
Yep.
I love it.
So you got it covered. So Dave, we'll start with your neck of the woods. Seems the way to go.
What do you got?
But mostly because it's alphabetical.
All right, hit me.
Asbury Park.
Okay.
I was talking to our friend, Deputy Mayor Amy Quinn.
Right,
she gave me the details. Said the status quo for this year. So same as last year.
Okay, like that.
$6 for a daily pass Monday to Friday, $9 on weekends.
Ooh, okay, so, nice increase. Bad. Okay.
$70 for a seasonal pass for adults, $20 for seniors, 62 and older.
Okay.
As well as teenagers, which is the 13 to 17 teenager range, kids 12 and under, veterans are free.
There you go. Excellent. All right.
So
that's a good rundown.
The Dave Crossan motto.
There you go. You know it, buddy. Listen, this is good to put it out to let people know what they're going to have to pull out of their wallet for this, you know?
Right. And listen, especially for daily passes, it's not bad.
It's manageable.
For a lot of these Ocean Monmouth beaches, which is what I usually do. I don't.
Do you have the most expensive? Well, I'm sure you do. You've done your homework here. I'm curious to see what is the most
expensive.
There
are a couple of them where I was looking them up. I'm like, whoa. this next one is not one of them, though. Allenhurst.
Okay,
the daily beach price, $10. There's also a beach club there as well, but you got to be a member to get on board with that.
That
so look
sense.
Into that. Avon by the Sea. I know some people call it Avon, which is something that my mom used to do, have like one of the Avon ladies come to the house and deliver makeup.
The cosmetics,
yep,
yes.
All the good stuff.
Okay.
now she just goes out into the store and gets it. Beach badges in Avon by the Sea, now on sale. Seasonal, $100. Senior badges, 65 and older. That's the other thing I noticed. In a lot of the towns, what they consider seniors are 65 and older. Asbury Park was one of the few that
are 62.
Asbury.
Okay.
$55. Young adult badges, 12 to 18 year olds are 55. That's all seasonal. Daily badges are $12. Kids 11 and younger are free. Parking free for everybody, though.
There you go. Save on the parking.
All about balance.
Okay.
Barnegat Light seasonal badges, $45. Weekly badges.
Oh, I thought you said
22.
That was for the day. I'm like, that would have been terrible. But go ahead. Go on.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is high quality beach right here, Dave.
Yeah, I get it. Wow. Okay.
Barnegat Light does it the right way. Weekly badges, 22. Senior badges, 12. Daily is 5.
Okay. Fair enough.
Barnegat Light's got a nice beach. Bayhead.
That's a nice area.
The Bayhead Improvement Association oversees all the prices and whatnot. $100 for a full season beach badge, $55 for a half season, $10 for a daily beach badge. Everyone 12 and younger is has to get 12 and older, excuse me, is required to have a badge.
Okay, fair enough.
So the kiddies are free. Beach Haven down on LBI, preseason, and that's the other thing I noticed. Some of the preseason sales continue. Longer than you might think. Preseason sales in Beach Haven continue until May 31st.
Interesting. Okay, fair enough.
Badges are $30, and then calendar flips to June 1st. Seasonal badges go up to $40.
They jump it up, okay.
Weekly badges, $20. Daily, $10. Seniors are also $10. Veterans are free. Belmar, definitely a popular beach in the summertime.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
Seasonal badges, $70. Seniors are $30.
Okay.
Daily beach badge, $10. Children, $13 and younger are free.
Fair enough.
So, okay. Berkeley Township for the White Sands Beach, which is in the South Seaside Park section of Berkeley, right next to Seaside Park and everything, by Island Beach State Park. Seasonal badges, $50. Weekly, $25. Daily, $10. Senior lifetime photo ID badge is $20. Senior seasonal badge is $15.
Okay.
Bradley Beach.
Nice area.
Seasonal badges for adults 16 to 64. So if you're 16 years old in Bradley Beach, you are now an adult when it comes to the beach.
There you go.
You cannot vote, but...
And how much would that be?
$80. Seasonal.
Okay.
Seasonal for senior. I'm going to twist my tongue here at some point.
Okay.
35. Seasonal for juniors 13 to 15, 35.
Okay.
Daily badge has yet to be announced.
Ooh.
So stay tuned.
And when we know, we will put that out there for everybody to find out.
Over in Brick Township, which we heard a little bit about a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
From Brick Mayor Lisa Crate.
Mm-hmm.
Brick Beach 1, Brick Beach 2, Brick Beach 3.
Yes.
Choose your Brick Beach, Dave.
There you go. Will do.
Seasonal beach and parking pass of the season are $30 up until May 15th. Then it goes to $45. Confirm the information with the Township of Brick.
Okay.
The daily beach wristbands are $10. Senior citizens can receive a free daily wristband until September 1st, and their parking pass is $15. Daily parking for everybody, $10.
Hmm.
And the kiddos, 12 and under, are free as well as vets.
Okay, okay.
In Deal, the seasonal walk-on beach fee, $150.
Ooh.
Daily weekday beach fee, $10. Weekend beach fee, $12. Kiddos, 12 and under, veterans are free. In Harvey Cedars, that Long LBI, it's got a beautiful beach down there.
Yes, it does.
Preseason beach badges until June 15th.
Okay.
So figure you're, even though it's not officially summer season yet,
right,
you're kind of into the throngs of it there. 35, seasonal 45. Weekly, 20. Daily, 7. Seniors for the season are $12.
Okay.
Island Heights, small little borough here in Ocean County. Recreational badge to use the beach, go fishing or crabbing, and use the tennis courts, 15 for a daily pass, 30 for a seasonal. Island Beach State Park, which I think may be my favorite beach over in Berkeley Township, it's free. Used to be once upon a time $10 to go park, and then you're onto the beach for free. But as of last year, Governor Murphy made all state beach parks free.
Okay.
So, Island Beach State Park
is a good rundown.
Status quo. Keensburg, from Beachway Avenue to Shore Boulevard, free to head onto the beach. Lavalette, definitely a popular beach.
Beautiful beach.
Free for children 12 and under, $65 per person for the seasonal beach badge, $35 for a weekly, $13 for a daily. 20 for a senior beach badge for the season, 15 for any person disabled, and veterans are free.
Okay.
Lock Arbor, $110 for an adult seasonal badge, $80 for a senior citizen seasonal. Daily badges, 10. Weekends are 12.
Okay. Okay.
Long Beach Township, down to LBI again, Dave. Till June 15th, preseason's 40. Seasonal after that is 50. Senior is $5. Weekly badge 20. Daily is 10. Veterans are free.
Fair enough.
Long Branch, seasonal badge for adults 18 to 61, $70. $30 for students 14 to 17. No beach badge required by the city for those 13 and younger, or 62 and older.
Interesting. Okay.
And Long Branch has some really nice beaches
there.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that.
Daily badge is 6, weekend holiday badge 9, daily for students is 3.
Okay, okay.
Manaloking, preseason through May 29th, seasonal is 110. After May 29th, it's 120. Still digging into the further prices for Manaloking. Manasquan, seasonal, 17 to 64 years old for adults. So you are, you know, once
you're
17, you're an adult. $85, juniors 12 to 16, 40, seniors 30, parking passes for the season 100, daily beach badge 10, weekly 45.
Okay. The parking's key. I mean, you get down there, you're going to have trouble finding a spot. Get there nice and early, as we always talk about, but yeah, it's a... That's a one big issue is finding the parking. But yeah, it's good to get the rundown
on
this.
Any beach town. Mm. Middletown, a couple beaches brought up last year when Tony Perry, the mayor in Middletown, was on our show. Ideal Beach and Leonardo Beach in Middletown. Kind of small town beaches, both free to head on. Monmouth Beach, full prices have yet to be announced. Neptune Township, the Ocean Grove Beach, Broadway Avenue, $90 if you buy by April 30th. It's $95 for the season after that. Youth and seniors pay $50. Daily is $12. Ocean Gate Beach Badge is $20 up until June 15th. Then it goes up to $25. Senior badges for the season, $10.
Okay, that's fair.
Point Pleasant Beach, Jenkinson's Beach runs the prices. Free for kids 5 and younger, $55 for a seasonal beach badge for those 5 to 11. $130 for those 12 and older, $95 for seniors. Daly Beach is free for the kiddos 5 and younger, $4 for kids 5 to 11, $13 for 12 and older. Also, Dave, anytime you bring a beach chair, it'll cost you $11. Beach umbrella, $12.
Oh, okay.
For lounge chairs, it's $15 or 2 for 25.
Okay. Well, this is good.
Something
this is
keep
a good
in mind.
List. Yeah. Okay.
Seasonal parking pass is Sandy Hook, which is a federal beach. It's $100. Seabright, as we round out here, seasonal beach badge $100. Seniors $35. Kids 12 and younger. Veterans are free. Daily beach badge $8. Seaside Heights $10 for a daily, $35 a weekly, $50 a seasonal up until May 16th, and it goes up to $60. $15 for seniors, kids 11 and younger, free, as well as veterans. Seaside Park, the favorite beach of Kevin Williams. seasonal badge, $65 until
nice.
June 14th.
Love it.
He's gonna let me know about that tomorrow. $70 after that. Seniors, $20. Weekly beach badge, seniors, $65 and all their weekly, $40. Daily, $13. 11 and younger, free. Seagirt seasonal, $115, senior $70, daily $11.98.
So from that list, which one was the most expensive?
I think deal.
Deal. Okay.
Let's see, what do I got here? I got four more. All right. Ship bottom seasonal starting June 1st, $45, weekly $25, daily $10, senior $10. Kids 12 and under free. Spring Lake seasonal, $110. Seniors, $80 after August 1st. It goes $70 for adults. Daily is $12. Surf City seasonal, $50. Weekly, $20. Daily, $10. And Ortley Beach in Toms River, 12 and younger as well as 62 and older are free. Seasonal, $40. Half season, $25. Weekly, $15. Daily, $4. Weekend, $5.
Okay.
So I think deal is the most expensive when it comes to seasonal, but a lot of the others are a bunch over 100 plus.
Yes.
But okay. A lot of this daily badges, I figured, $10 or under.
Well, definitely if you're going to be using it, going to the beach on a frequent basis, you got to get the pass. You know, if you have the single day passes, that'll add up quickly.
Yep. So however you choose to do it, start planning ahead. And if you missed any of it, you want to... check it out for yourself. Article is up, 943thepoint.com, the 943 The Point app. You can go to the Short Time with Vin and Dave tab. The article is there, or you can click on my name on the website as well. It's there for you to go. So plenty to look forward to, Dave, with the beaches.
Love it, buddy. Getting excited.
So check out a bunch of beaches. We got a lot of good ones in Monmouth and Ocean County. We got some good guests coming up. Here this morning, we teased a little bit last week, Lions, Tigers, and Beers. We've got a couple friends joining us on the other side of the break from the Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge in Forked River. So get ready for some Lions, Tigers, and Beers here on Easter morning. More Short Time with Vin and Dave right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hi, this is Southside Johnny from the Asbury Jukes, and you are listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point, and I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Whether in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you are more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Abenue, Dave Crossan with you. Here on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, and we're talking about Lions, Tigers, beers, Falcons, and so much more.
We got it all covered this morning.
We're teeing it up here good. We're bringing back another guest of ours who was on the show last year, Danny Mendez, now the assistant director for the Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge in the Forked River section of Lacey. We had Danny and John Bergman on last year talking about Lions, Tigers, and Beers Part 1. We're going to talk about Part 2 this year and so much more. Danny, before we dive right in, got to say welcome on back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. We love coming back here and showing off to you guys all the stuff that we're up to.
Oh, yeah.
Year.
Love it.
So first, how did the first rendition of Lions, Tigers, and Beers go last year?
Oh, wow. It just exceeded our expectations in every way. It was crazy. We sold out. People were like scalping tickets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like full on concert mode.
Yeah, we hit that level that we are now officially being scalped and all that good stuff. So based on that, this year is going to be highly anticipated as well. And we're vamping it up. We're going to have more vendors. We're actually opening the gates up to allow more people to come in last year.
Nice.
We capped at about, like, I think 500 people. I think this year we're going to be doing 750 people.
Nice turnout.
So yeah, it was a tremendous turnout. Everyone is so supportive, and we really appreciate it when everybody comes out to help out the animals, because ultimately that's what it is. It's for the animals.
Sure.
So.
Right on.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. How many, distilleries or vendors did you have last year?
Last year we had about 8 of them, and we're easily doubling up on that, as well as food trucks. We're going to have ice cream, dessert stations.
There you go.
Ice cream. There it is.
Yeah. And we're even going to do live music again this year.
Nice.
We're
going to
have Chris Brown come back, who did a great job last year. So, yeah, we're really excited. It's going to be bigger, better, more lion ear and tiger ear and bear ear.
You're fired up.
Lots of beers.
This is great.
June 10th is the second annual festival for everybody out there keeping score at home. But this is, like you said a couple minutes ago, just for the animals as well. So what is it about the fundraising part of this or the educational part of the Lions, Tigers, and Beers Festival that you and everybody else at the Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge just really want to try and get out to people and have them come and know?
Well, the experience is the full package. I mean, you're going to come out there, it's a fundraiser. Obviously, we rely on events like this to get food for our animals, to provide, upgrades to their enclosures, things like that. But this year, we really want to focus on the experience of the matter. So when you come in, you're going to have access to all these great craft brewers and this food, but then you're going to have live animal exhibits, which is going to be tremendous. We're going to have interactions with some really special animals that we've got lined up that are educational animals.
Nice.
I brought 2 of them here with me. Actually,
I see that.
We got friends.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We've got some friends for you guys to meet, just to give you a taste of what it's like. But we're going to be offering a really unique experience this year. It's not often that you get to be face to face, inches away from these animals, learning all about them, and it really makes an impact. We found that when people meet these animals face to face, the impact is tremendous and the connection is tremendous. So all the way around, it's just a tremendously amazing event in every way, shape, or form. It benefits everybody, and everyone has the best time ever.
And I think it's a great way to bring, everybody together, but also, bring out some food and some beer. Say, hey, listen,
good
relax,
course.
Have a good time, enjoy a
turn
nice
them loose. Yeah,
day.
Luckily, to this date, we've not had anybody try to jump in with the bears or anything after too many
beers.
It's
always a plus.
Yeah, it's a good plus. Thing. Yeah, you don't want that.
I mean, I would have enjoyed the entertainment factor of it. Don't
I don't
me
think
wrong.
The person
feel
would
like,
have him running around.
Recreating the scene from Anchorman.
That's right.
Yeah. So, everybody had a really great time. And it's like I said, it's just the experience of it all. It's an amazing setting. You're in the pines. It's, warm summer evening, you've got live music, you've got the animals there, and you leave there feeling really good. And not only because of the bears, but by the end of the day, you've contributed to something really, really amazing.
So is there anything new, any additional new things that you're going to be doing at the second annual festival for Lions, Tigers, and Beers this year that you didn't do last year, or everybody got together like, we could do a little bit more or expand it?
Yeah, last year was definitely kind of the litmus test for what we could achieve. And now knowing that we're going to push it further. We've increased the number of vendors we're going to have there. We're going to have not only the food vendors and the dessert tables, but local artisan crafts vendors, people local to the Pines. We want to make this also about the environment. You know, down here in South Jersey, we have such a unique ecosystem, and we really try hard to let people learn about that. So as they're here, as they're enjoying their evening, we're going to drive home the education portion of that, which is not only—
I like that. That's great.
Yeah, not only learning about our animals and what we do, but what this environment is and how lucky we are, you know, just to be conscious of what it is that we have here in South Jersey, which is so special.
Well, what is the biggest thing that people can learn at this Lions, Tigers, and Beers Festival, just about all the animals there, all the work that you do for animal rescues?
Yeah, it's a really unique experience because it's one of the few times where we have our keepers out and interacting with the crowd. So this is a chance for people to learn, you know, how it is that we keep our animals and what our keepers do to keep them healthy and safe, and the process. It's a really unique interaction that you get to have on top of that. But ultimately, we want people to understand what it is we do at Popcorn Park, because it's such a unique place. I mean, we're not like a zoo where we have, you know, a collection that we've planned out. All right. Our animals come to us because they needed help in one way or another. Since I've spoken to you last, we've gotten new tigers and lions that came from Canada last year.
Love that.
And these are animals that had nowhere else to go. And we did this huge international effort to get them across the border. Wow. And people don't understand that. When people come, you know, to a place like Popcorn, if there's no one there to explain this to you, you're just kind of guessing, oh, okay, you know, they got lions and tigers behind a cage, whatever. You really don't come away with the heart of what it is we do. You don't understand that these animals came from really bad environments and now they've got really great environments. And we try to convey that to everybody. And this opportunity really lets you see that happening in a way that you normally wouldn't through normal operations.
Wow. No, I love the work that you guys do there and the way you explained it last year. It just kind of opened my eyes, and I think it opens a lot of other people's eyes and ears, too. And, of course, we're hitting home on the Lions, Tigers, and Beers June 10th, but, I mean, you guys do so much throughout the course of a year, and plenty of days to go check out and scout out your areas of Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge, see what spot you want to take up on June 10th. But, Danny, just give us, you know, especially for those who may not know or who don't know the full extent of what you do for these animals, just what are some of the animals you have there and some of these stories about how you go about taking care and checking out all the animals once they come in for the first time, you know, having a vet look at them, you know, making sure they're healthy, and if they're not, what to do?
Yeah, sure. It's a process that involves a lot of people. We work in close cooperation with veterinarians from Cape May Zoo. So in a situation like this, when we get a new animal, so for instance, these lions and tigers that recently came to us from Canada last year, it was a big international effort. The veterinarians check them out on their end in Canada before they come to us. They get an exam there, and then they get another full thorough exam once they come to us. At that point, we sedate them, and we do a full workup on the animals when they first arrive. So a veterinarian will be there. They'll take blood samples. We'll look the animal over, make sure its skin, nails, teeth are all good, things like that. And then it gives us a baseline to work off of that animal's health. So we do blood tests. We do a complete workup. We now have a health baseline for that animal. And over time, we track that. So every few months, they'll be subject to exams. We monitor them closely. The majority of our animals, unfortunately, come to us in a state where they're not healthy. The majority of our animals are either neglected or abused, or they're super old.
Oh, boy.
We've got bears right now that are in their 20s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we have to monitor our collection a lot more closely than the average zoological collection, just because of the basis of the animals that we get in and you know, where they come from initially. So it's a big effort.
And I know in extreme animal abuse or hoarding cases, there's health departments getting involved, law enforcement, nonprofits, Popcorn Park, and so on and so forth. But whether it's a bigger case like that or something, I guess, not as extreme, for lack of a better word, where maybe it's a couple animals or one as opposed to 100 or so. How does Popcorn Park get involved with that, or communicate in anything, or in helping out abused animals or neglected animals in any way?
Well, part of what Popcorn park does is not only are we an animal refuge, but we're also a shelter for dogs and cats. Mm. So we regularly deal with various municipalities in South Jersey. Essentially, we touch base with and work with other agencies like law enforcement or local animal control officers. And when a situation arises, we try to pool all of our resources, us as well as various agencies, other refuges, and even other zoos, depending on the situation.
Okay. On
a daily basis, we deal with everything from, you know, cat and dog hoarding to really extreme cases of people. You know, we had a case last year of someone who had a very extreme collection. We're talking about like monkeys, lemurs, venomous snakes, and things like that, things they weren't supposed to be keeping. So a lot of times we are an emergency kind of repository for this situation when we encounter illegal situations or situations where animals are not being kept properly. We'll do our best to get the help for those animals, whether it's through us or working with other organizations. It's usually a kind of a joint effort.
And then it's the same sort of check out what condition the animals are in and before giving them a new home within the animal refuge, just seeing what condition they're in. And I guess depending on the case, Danny, is it more after you check their physical well-being, how do you and the team go about assessing maybe their emotional and mental well-being these animals coming in, especially in these cases of neglect, abuse, or hoarding where they know no other life and nobody's treated them with anything? They just kind of sit in a home and they don't get the right kind of treatment or bathing or food or anything like that.
Yeah, a big part of what we do is not only a physical assessment, but a psychological assessment of the animals as well. That helps us to determine if they can be adopted out again. Mm. Sometimes some animals come from such extreme situations where they just don't behave normally. And unfortunately, we have to work with those animals for a longer period of time. But essentially, when we encounter situations like that, the best and most important thing to do in those situations is to get the animal situated in a permanent type of situation. So we look for an immediate foster home or just really push hard to get them adopted out, because unfortunately these animals won't do as well in a shelter as they would at home. And sometimes part of that healing process is getting them into a home where they can experience positivity and they realize that people aren't all that bad. That changes them about. And soon, within a couple of months working with our fosters, we have an animal that is adoptable. Unfortunately, when it comes to wildlife, that's not always the situation.
Mm.
For instance, a lot of our monkeys came from situations where they were kept improperly, unsocialized, things like that. And as a result, they can't be normal animals anymore. We have monkeys that don't know how to be monkeys. They prefer to be people, and they prefer to be with people as opposed to some of their own kind. So a lot of what we do is just kind of assessing the history, the current situation, and then seeing what would be the best fit moving forward for the animals. And we have a great team to help us with that. Everyone who does even like home assessments, we make sure the home is the right place for an animal. Or in the case of some of the exotics or the wildlife, if we can't provide the best possible situation for it, we will touch base with another organization that can and make sure that that animal ultimately gets there.
I imagine it may vary from, I guess, case to case with some of these animals coming in, but what are some of the signs that you typically see when after an animal's been, you know, taken care of and they're there, that they show that they trust people again, that they feel like they could be themselves, essentially, or, you know, do normal things for what they would do, be happy? Are there certain things that are like, okay, we know Jack the monkey is back to acting like Jack the monkey again, or he's a happy monkey?
Absolutely. And that's what we strive for, is happy monkeys.
You want Jack the monkey to be happy.
We want, you know, happy monkey, happy life, or something like that, right? So essentially what it comes down to is, you know, individual assessments. We see these animals come in and they're fearful. And you eventually work around that fear. You know, you show them, hey, it's okay. You give them positive reinforcement.
Mm.
You know, we don't deserve animals, because 9 times out of 10, they're going to forgive us and they'll be fine. Even the most abused animals cases, you know, you have these dogs and cats that will cower in a corner and you give them love for about a week. It's funny. We have people who like force their love on some of our stray cats and stuff, like just hold them and love them, hug them. And the cat's like, you know, why did I, you know? But then like a week later, you see the cat like coming out and be like,
it's my turn.
You know? It's very individualistic, but there are various steps that we take. And ultimately, we want to, you know, turn around and make the animal feel comfortable. And like, going back to the monkeys, we've got one monkey named Tess.
There you go.
She's good name.
Tess is amazing. She was my Valentine Day. You can check it out on social media. She was my Valentine. I love her. She absolutely loves me too. We have a strong bond. And every day I will go to her, and she grooms me. She will meticulously groom my beard, the hair on my arms. Yeah, it's really like
she's pluck out all the hairs.
It's one of the sometimes. Yeah, it's one of the perks we get at Popcorn is great skincare from our monkeys. So you know, for her that means everything. That is what makes her comfortable. She does not like other monkeys. She will not groom other monkeys. She wants to groom me, and so you know that's the sacrifice
that's
I got to make.
Is. Hey, well, you know? Sure.
And this is why I'm single, but I'm okay with that.
Well, you got Tess, I guess. For now.
I mean, it works Tess, out. That's all I need in life.
Danny, want to talk about the new friend that you have there, Artemis the Falcon, and some friends you brought into the studio this morning.
But
it's we like what we call in the biz the art of the tease here.
Yes.
So we got to head to a quick break.
Quick break.
While the people hang on the edge of their radios there and they're like, we got to know what animals he brought in. Danny, can you hang with us?
I absolutely can.
There we go.
Excellent.
More short time with Vin and Dave and Danny Mendez and the mystery animals from the Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hey, this is UFC championship fighter and Toms River High School East alumni Frankie Edgar, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Dave and Vin, these guys are the buzz.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Cross, and with you. With us here this morning is Danny Mendez, Assistant Director of the Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge in Forked River. We talked lions, tigers, bears, and more. We talked about all the great work that they do to treat all different kinds of animals coming in from all different backgrounds as well. And Danny teased it. We teased it at the end. We want you to hang around.
Here, buddy.
We got a couple guests in studio. So it's me, it's Dave, it's Danny, it's Allie, who is an actual person from the Popcorn Park Zoo. But Danny, you've got another guest, a non-human guest with us this morning who's hanging out on the table.
I have
She has little sneezes.
She does. This is her morning sneezes. She just woke up. I have the epitome of gorgeousness here. This is Dizzy the opossum.
Okay.
She was one of our first educational animals. She came to us last year, and she has a pretty cool story, actually.
Okay.
She was found, unfortunately, in her mother's pouch, who was deceased.
Ooh.
It's very common in the spring for opossums to get hit by cars.
Oh, my goodness.
Something that we do, and we try to remind all of our staff, is if you see a dead opossum, check the pouch.
Okay.
Because a lot of times they'll get hit by cars, but the babies manage to survive. So in Dizzy's case, she was the lone survivor of the pouch.
There were other ones.
There were other siblings. Okay. They did not survive. She was the only one that survived, and she had a really big gash on her head, her forehead, like Harry Potter style. So she obviously had some kind of trauma there. As a result of that trauma, she had head injury that made her spin in circles. And so she couldn't walk straight.
Oh. Well, like vertigo or something?
And that's, it's like a vertigo thing. That's why she got the name Dizzy. She would kind of just like spin in circles. And unfortunately, when that happens a lot of times, these animals get euthanized. They get put down because they're not going to improve. In my experience, sometimes head injuries do improve. So I wanted to give her a chance. And we did. And within about 2 or 3 months, she was showing almost no symptoms anymore.
Wow.
At that point, though, it was too late. She was already falling in love with me. So she couldn't be released into the wild.
Very calm. She literally lays there.
Yeah, is like the best. She comes home with me sometimes and like actually like we Netflix and chill and everything. She's used to all situations.
What's her favorite Netflix show?
Oh, she got like really into like the whole You series. She's got like a little bit of a weirdo staring thing going on. She can't see very well, so sometimes she doesn't even realize she's staring at you. She's really her purpose is to be an educational ambassador. That's why she's so calm. We've literally put her through a lot of situations. Even as a young baby, like I would carry her in a pouch with me everywhere I went, supermarket. I got like the weird looks. Most people don't even realize it. We super socialize her so that she wouldn't be nervous in a different situation or around crowds of people.
Makes sense.
We can use her as a tool, an educational tool, because obviously people, when they see an animal up close like this, it makes a totally different impact than if you're just telling them or showing them a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And opossums are one of those animals that have a real bad stigma about them. A lot of people don't like them.
Right. Okay.
I'm assuming it's because of the resemblance to rats.
She's a doll.
She's great. Yeah,
I love
she's,
her her very nails. Sharp nails.
She gets manicures.
She's good to go.
Her nails are like really nice and trim. Yeah, she gets manicures. She uses head and
about
shoulders.
About the size of a cat, like a small cat.
Yeah, she's she's just under
it's
a year
big.
Old. And yeah, she when I got her, she was literally the size of a mouse.
Wow.
She was tiny. And, you know, they're just these really extreme animals. Unfortunately, possums, even ones in captivity, don't live past about 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have super short lifespans. It's like live fast, eat trash, and die. Like, that's basically like what they do.
The fur looks very soft. And,
she is. You can, I mean, feel free. You guys can feel free to pat her hair. Let's get the feel. Yeah, let's get the feel. Let me bring her over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Pat, right? Yep.
She uses shampoo and conditioner. She's very, you know, on the
there you go.
Fancy. Yeah.
So,
I like that.
So Dizzy's great. She's really fantastic and has been an amazing animal ambassador. And it's always a pleasure to bring her out and introduce her to people because they feel a little less scared once they've had, you know, an experience with an animal like this. And they realize they're not vicious. They have a strange look to them. You know, they've got this really toothy grin. They've got more teeth than any animal in North America.
So,
they have the most teeth of any animal in North America. So, you know, they can be a little imposing. And especially when you run into them at like 1 o'clock in the morning, throwing out the trash, you know, you see this giant thing in your trash bin. But they're really harmless. They hardly carry any diseases at all.
Huh.
They have a really low body temperature, so that doesn't let things like rabies get hold in them, which is interesting. So you don't have to worry about them as far as any diseases or sickness goes. Their nature's cleanup. They will just eat anything and everything. And that's because they have this huge metabolic process. I mean, literally, if we lived like them, I mean, imagine us being born, and by the time we were adults, we'd be like, you know, 25 feet tall. Their body mass grows tremendously from a tiny, you know, when they're born, they're like
could
the size
be a
bean. Yeah. Yeah, so they have this just huge metabolic need for food, and they eat and eat and eat. It's what they do. Eat and sleep. It's a good life.
I mean, you know, and nothing wrong with that.
And the tail, I love how the tail curls around your hand there.
Yeah, the tail is like one of the most amazing things about opossums, in my opinion. It's really prehensile, really grippy, and they basically use it as like a fifth limb when climbing. It's extra security. She also likes to use it for grabbing things. She likes to collect like leaves and papers.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah, and she curls it up in her little tail and carries it along. It's really cute.
Interesting.
I sniff into the mic. That's her.
Say something.
We hear you.
That's her sniffing in the mic, Nubby.
Yeah, she's very curious.
She is. Yeah. She's really outgoing.
Like she doesn't know us, but yet she's into it. I love it.
And that's what we try to do with our educational animals. We really try to socialize them well so that they're comfortable in most situations.
Right.
And we can convey what we have to about them without them freaking out. You know.
Do you find that a lot of you get a lot of good feedback with that, especially among kids who are coming like, oh, wow.
It's 100%. I mean, my favorite thing is to see, you know, somebody's face when you first pull it out and they have this face of disgust. And then by the time you're done introducing them, they like want to get in there and hug her and kiss.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's like the best feeling in the world. Kids are naturally, I mean, kids just gravitate towards animals in general. If you don't teach them to be scared, they won't. So kids always love her. It's the adults that usually are a little hesitant, but they always win them. Dizzy wins everybody.
And she has like whiskers.
She does. Yeah. She has whiskers just like a cat. And that's all helps her at night when she's wandering around and can't see. They have terrible eyesight. So they rely on those whiskers to keep them from bumping into things.
Okay.
And her ears, too, are really kind of bat-like. They can move in different directions. And she's actually shutting them down a little bit right now because I'm talking in her face. But she can fold her ears up and kind of shut them down a little bit.
She's shutting us out.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, yeah.
I can't hear you.
Very cool.
Yeah, she's really sweet. I'm glad you guys got to meet her.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to come down to the park where you can meet her.
Absolutely.
We'll have her out all week, all summer long, I should say.
There you go.
She'll be out and you can meet Dizzy firsthand.
Very cool.
So I know you also have Artemis the Falcon that you just introduced as well.
Okay, this is
Park
cool.
Zoo.
Looking forward
so
to this.
Let me hand off Dizzy. We're going to get Dizzy away.
Yeah, make sure Dizzy is protected here.
Friendly face.
I noticed that you have her all in dark. You have a blanket over there. That's okay. So she can get some good shut-eye.
Yeah, it's just for travel. She, like I said, she's pretty used to this. So she will sleep under any conditions. I think I could put her there with like paper towels and she would be fine too.
Okay.
She's pretty hardcore. All right, I'm going to come over here and grab Artemis.
Now,
real
I'm assuming
quick.
Artemis, right?
We keep them separate. Yeah, we don't.
Otherwise,
got
it becomes a really short show.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, okay.
So,
gotcha.
Artemis, also one of your new education ambassadors, retiring as well. So, living the life at the Popcorn Park Animal Zoo and Animal Refuge. Danny Mendez, assistant director, getting our other second guest from the zoo.
Wow.
Here's Artemis.
Okay, I'm getting my phone out here. Oh, that's so cool.
Artemis is here.
Okay.
Dave, there you go with the mic.
Over here.
Help out, Danny.
Here we go.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
The mic? No, you're good.
I just want to hold her over here in case we have an accident. Artemis is pretty amazing. She is our newest ambassador at Popcorn Park, and she's got a really fascinating story. Have you guys ever been to medieval times?
Oh, yeah.
I have.
Once, back in high school. It was fun.
In high school. Yeah, it's a great place.
I always think of the movie The Cable Guy, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? The whole Silence of the Lambs.
They didn't have forks in medieval times, or they had Pepsi?
One of the best scenes ever. Well, she actually came from medieval times. Artemis was, if you've been there in the last 5 or 6 years, you've probably seen her performing. She was their main performing falcon. So Artemis was the kind of the whole center of the medieval times show for a while. Then around COVID time, 2020 or so, they stopped doing shows for a bit. And Artemis, well, she put on a little bit of COVID weight. She got a little chunky.
Didn't we all?
Yes, we all did. She got a little chunky, became a little less athletic. And when it came time to perform, she decided she wasn't going to fly around the arena like she's supposed to do. So she would stop on people's tables, hang out with them. She would steal people's scarves and hats sometimes. So she became a little too spicy for medieval times. So they decided to put her into retirement. And she has come to Popcorn Park, where she's now retired and spending her time with us. And she's educating the public just like the rest of our animals do. And she's really fantastic. I mean, to get to be this close to a falcon of this size is amazing. She's also a unique bird, and she's a hybrid. She's not a regular straight-up falcon. She's a hybrid between two species of falcons. So because of that, she has all these really unique features. But, I mean, this is literally, like, the world's fastest animal. I mean, 240 miles per hour. Like, they've been clocked at.
It's why I used to run on the track, Dave.
There you go, buddy. And there's like a look. She has a little helmet on here.
Yeah, she's wearing a hood right now. So she is a hunting bird. She's been trained in the art of falconry. That hood keeps her calm. It lets her know that her only job is to kind of sit back and chill out. I'll take the hood
off.
And you'll see immediately there's going to be a kind of a change in her behavior. She's going to be much more aware, and she's going to be a little more active. So we'll do that now, just to kind of give you guys a little. And that is Artemis's face. And you can see she's now looking around like, where am I? How did I get here?
She is beautiful.
Yeah, she's stunning to look at. And like I said, it's just a really unique opportunity to have a bird of this kind this close to you. So you see, she's looking around. She's trying to figure out what it is she has to do at this point.
She's much more curious.
Yes.
Yeah.
She knows. I mean, she is a performer, and she knows that her job is to fly around and chase after her lure and come back as called. So once the hood is off, it's like I'm in performing mode, and she gets ready to go. But
beautiful eyes.
Very interesting.
Beautiful, but just a stunning bird altogether. And I mean, it's just from a biological point of view, it's just a fascinating animal. I mean, this is what we base a lot of our military tech on. It's this animal. You can look even in her nostrils. She's got like these little kind of bumps inside of her nostril. I mean, that is designed to break up the air. As she's diving over 200 miles per hour, she can still keep breathing because as the air enters her nostrils, it kind of breaks up and it's not like forcing it into her lungs. Oops, sorry. She's going to poop. So I mean,
sure. It happens.
So essentially, she is designed for speed and the kill. Super powerful beak, super huge talons, as you can see, that are resting on my hand. And the beak is really amazing, too. The beak has a very specific shape. The shape on it is actually made to separate vertebrae. So when they land on their prey, they just snip the spine, and it's all over. It's pretty efficient.
Quick and painless. So
yeah, there's no struggle that way, and you know, it's pretty quick and easy. So yeah, so we're really excited to introduce her to everyone and her familiarity. A lot of people are going to have a familiarity with her because of medieval times, so it's just a fun story.
Yeah, a lot of great stories.
Absolutely
great guests here this morning.
Yeah, she's stunning. Not a hawk, but a falcon. Close enough. Well, she can be an honorary hawk today.
What is the main difference between the two?
Well, it's hunting style. So hawks are kind of a general purpose bird. They live in woodlands. They can hunt from a tree. They can hunt on the wing. They can soar above and dive down on something. They have kind of a whole bunch of different plays in their playbook. Falcons are different. Falcons are strictly speed birds. So what they'll do is they'll fly up really, really high. And then they choose to come down on their prey, usually birds flying in midair. So they'll have like a midair collision and take their birds down. So falcons are built for hunting other birds, and they're built for speed. Hawks are kind of general purpose. They can eat birds, rabbits, squirrels, whatever. So it's a little different. And falconry, that obviously comes into play. It depends on the style of hunting and things like that. So a bird like this is really great for open areas. Her species, a lanner falcon, is native to Africa, so they're actually a desert species of falcon. So they kind of operate in these wide open areas.
What is the difference of an eagle then?
So an eagle is just a larger version of a hawk, essentially, but eagles tend to specialize a little more than hawks. So like our American eagles, for instance, our bald eagles, they tend to be fish specialists, just like our ospreys, which are also a type of eagle. So eagles tend to be bigger birds with a little more specialization.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
And I notice her neck, the way it turns practically all the way around.
She has full 180-degree view. You know, like most predators, her eyes are facing forward, so she has to adjust for that.
Right.
She's going to just kind of get a little... She's getting a little edgy, like she needs to fly
somewhere.
I gotta go somewhere. So she's gonna look around. She might flap around a little bit just to
sure.
Don't worry about it too much. She's trying to see what she can get away
with. Not much room in here.
Yeah.
Go fly.
Yeah, it's interesting because working with an animal like this, they really test you like that.
Oh, okay.
They really test you. So she's always going to see what she can get away with, how much room she's got
and
to fly, what she can test.
With her wings, you could feel the wind.
That's a lot of power. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bird, you know, every time it flaps its wings, they accelerate like 10 miles per hour off the fly. So,
wow.
I mean, in six wing beats, this bird is up to 60, 70 miles per hour, you know, on level flight. When they're diving down an incline, it's a totally different story.
Wow. So a lot of great, two great guests in this morning, but certainly plenty for people to go and check out at the Popcorn Park Zoo.
Yeah, and she will, just like Dizzy, she'll be making her rounds around all summer long.
There
so
you go.
Everyone can feel free to come on up if they see me walking around with a falcon.
Nice. Yeah.
Ask as many questions as you want, yeah.
So those are just two of the people that you can go check out before Lions, Tigers, and Beers on June 10th. Danny, as we wrap up here, what are some of the other animals or some other things that people could look forward to at Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge?
At the refuge this year, we have a lot of new animals that have come in. Like I said, we have two new lions, two new tigers that came to us from Canada. Check them out. They're like really young and like excitable animals. They love like stalking little kids. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh,
so bring your kids for the ultimate treat.
Let them
get chased by a tiger.
There you go.
other highlights, of course, are our birds will be making a comeback this year. Last year, because of avian flu, we kept them behind closed doors. But this year, they're going to be out, so you can revisit our parrots again.
Nice.
It'll be out. And of course, just all of the usual residents, our longtime old residents that everyone's come to know. Our lion, Simbo's been there for like 16, 17 years.
Oh,
he's
well.
Always fun to watch. And things like the goats and our horse Seven, they love the attention from the people, so we encourage everyone to come down and
there
give
you
them
go.
The love they deserve.
Absolutely. Danny, appreciate you coming in, talking
Thanks
about lions, tigers, beers, bringing in our new friends,
special guests,
Artemis here,
and
Dizzy, and look forward to checking out some of the animals. And everybody, go check out Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge in Fork River well before Lions, Tigers, and Beers June 10th. Go there any day, bring the kids. And go there for a day of fun. Go learn something about all the different animals and all the great care that everybody over there at the Animal Refuge does. Danny, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, guys.
That is Danny Mendez, Assistant Director of the Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge in Forked River. More Short Time with Vin and Dave right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You need a radio guy. You got to go to the radio guys that I go to. Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point.
Let's face it, investment concepts and financial planning can be very intimidating and confusing. Shoreline Wealth Management addresses that feeling head on. Their goal is to educate you while offering financial advice without buzzwords and jargon. Shoreline includes you in the process and makes you comfortable every step of the way. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information and start your financial journey with comfort and security today. Shoreline Wealth Management with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Epineau, Dave Crossan with you as we put a bow on another show.
That was
show
fun.
Number 62, an Easter Sunday edition. And, you know, sometimes you see the bunnies and the baskets on Easter Sunday. Well, we had Artemis
we
the Falcon and Dizzy the Opossum
yes.
joining us here
yes.
this morning.
Very cool.
Along with Danny Mendez, the Assistant Director of the Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge in the Forked River section of Lacey. So
beautiful animals.
It was great having
wow.
Danny on last year, and then he brought in the animals this time.
Because he mentioned that last time he
yeah,
was going
like,
to, and he did not fail us.
We've got, they have Lions, Tigers, and Beers, the second annual festival coming up June 10th.
Correct.
Artemis the Opossum and Dizzy the, I'm sorry, Artemis the Falcon and Dizzy the Opossum, they're education ambassadors, so plenty to check out there. They do a lot of great work with rescue animals and taking care of them, restoring them back to physical, mental, and emotional health.
Amazing
but also
work that they do.
Providing education, not just to kids,
I
but
like
to
that.
All of us. We could all learn so much about the animals they work
oh, yeah.
with.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, go support them. You know, it's just so many animals out there that, you know, need help. They have, like you mentioned with the monkeys.
Yeah.
That they're okay with humans, but they won't intermix with other monkeys. You know, something
yeah,
like that.
Right.
It's sad. But, you know, they're doing good work. You know, go support their causes
And obviously, you want to donate your time, helping them in any way, or money, of course, they need. And as I always talk about this, Vin, if you're going to give donations, consider giving them gradually. They need money all the time, not just at the end of the year when people are looking for that tax deduction. So that was so cool having the animals in-house, you know, very cool. And the falcon, gorgeous, huh? The wingspan, and when she tried to fly away.
Oh, she wanted to in here.
But no, the gust of wind, it was like, whoo, you know, obviously they're so fast and you get it, but, you know,
definitely
just
learned
gorgeous.
I learned a lot about just Artemis and Dizzy there. So when you have the chance, listen, it's nice weather out, spring, summer, make it something to do with the kids or with whoever, or even go check it out yourself one day. Popcorn Park Zoo and Animal Refuge in Forked River, more than just a zoo, it's an animal refuge. They take great care of the animals there. And this Lions, Tigers, and Bears Festival June 10th is a fundraiser for them as well as an educational opportunity. So go check them out. Time to wrap up, Dave. We got to bounce. We got a great show
next week. Yes, we do.
Shannon Kulesa from Jake's Got This is coming back to our show to talk about another exciting event coming up.
Yes, big
this one. Summer in Ocean County.
Looking forward to it.
So have a happy Easter, everybody. Enjoy the day with your families. Enjoy the Cadbury eggs and the jelly beans and all the peeps and, you know, all
the time with
Easter goodies and everything else as well. Have a great Sunday and a great week ahead, everybody. And we'll talk to you next Sunday. More Short Time and Vin and Dave continues a week from now. 94.3 The Point.
Good, thanks.
Hi, this is Christy Pierce Rampone, former U.S. women's soccer team captain, Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and Point Borough High School alum, and you're listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Tune in for some real conversation with Dave and Vin. You don't want to miss this.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you're more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor, committed to helping you weather life's storms. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information today. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.